And I've got Ann Hill from the Water Bureau and Anna DiBenedetto here. And Anna, are you with, you must be with Randy's office.
Yes.
Okay. That was a guess, and I guessed right. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ann Hill, and I work at the Water Bureau as one of the Portland Loo staff. Anna DiBenedetto, as you said, is here from Commissioner Leonard's staff, and has been the that office's contact for the Loo. Thank you for this opportunity to update you on the success of the Portland Loo and share with you the upcoming proposed Portland Loo location. You've received several presentations in 2008 and 2010 about the design and proposed locations. To date, we have incorporated many of your suggestions. The last time we came in April, most notably using stainless steel with a graffiti-proof coating instead of HDPE plastic, and your suggestions regarding specific site comments. Since our last presentation to you this spring, the second Portland Loo was installed on August 11th, 2010, one block north of Salmon Spring Fountain at Nato Parkway and Southwest Taylor Street. And the third Portland Loo is scheduled to be installed in October of this year, one block south of the Legacy Fountain at Nato Parkway and Southwest Ash Street. Today we're talking about the proposed site being discussed, which will be the fourth Portland Loo to be installed. And Anna's going to talk to you a little bit about that location.
Hello again, I'm Anna DiBenedetto. I've been on staff with Commissioner Leonard for going on 4 years now. And we are introducing the fourth Loo to be installed at Jamison Square Park at the behest of neighbors in the Neighborhood Association. We plan to install it in a curb cutout in one of the parking spots on Northwest 11th Avenue between Kearney and Johnson. And we want it to have the door open facing the north so that it is facing oncoming traffic. And the Neighborhood Association is in charge of coming up with the artwork that will be featured on that door, door slot. This location was cited at the approval of the Pearl Neighborhood Association. And it was also, we suggested a couple locations that would work after collaborating with the Water Bureau, Bureau of Environmental Services, PBOT. We have a representative from Rich Eisenhower today, and staff from Commissioner's Fish's office, Commissioner Leonard's office, and the Portland Development Commission. And we believe that the design that you guys have already seen before, we think it's a good fit for this location. In the surrounding area, and we just want to thank you for the opportunity to present it and listen to any comments you guys might have.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming down. First question that came to my mind is that has there ever been some kind of master plan of where you might start putting these around the city, or is it going to kind of be more ad hoc that as neighborhoods or as districts think that they need one that they kind of come to you? What's the process that we have at this point?
I would say it's definitely been ad hoc. We've tried our best to collaborate with as many different organizations and groups as possible, basically starting out with the Street Access for Everybody group that is no longer, just identifying places. They were looking for sites for benches, and so I went on a ride-along with them, and we also identified sites for loos, which are basically just high-traffic areas. And I suppose at some point, if we get funding and we actually can put in a lot of loos, we'll come out with a master plan. But at this point, we're with the fourth loo, we're just about out of funding, and until we can start selling some, it might be for a while. We're optimistic, so for the time being, it might be one of the last.
So about the selling part, Anna, have you guys, with the numbers of loos that we have installed now, have you had other cities or other jurisdictions coming to visit, or?
Anne could comment a little bit more in detail on that.
So the city of San Diego this spring, the city council allocated $700,000 to the equivalent of their PDC to the first stage. That was just been 120 days going through a siting process. And I just talked to the staff yesterday. So they've located four sites, and they're now going to do a report to their finance committee and then to their board and then go to the council. The ideal outcome would be for the council, their city council, to say proceed, and proceed would mean they would still have to do due diligence about, is it the best, is the Portland Loo the best model, are there other options, et cetera. So that's in the works. There's quite a few cities, mostly on the West Coast, that have been interested, and I think the economy is the largest issue right now.
Okay.
It was brought to San Diego by a advocacy group, and so we keep – I get calls weekly as to – the slow process of following up and where's the money, and that's the part.
What are the costs of these now?
The cost to manufacture Lou is $65,000, which, you know, a lot of you, I mean, for a bricks and mortar bathroom, it's a lot more than that. We're selling them outside the city for $87,500. So the idea there being that the profit there would go into a fund so that we could site more here in the city and maintain them. So.
And there's a couple companies in Portland that did.
We have one company that is manufacturing them in Portland.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add an exciting side note. The city of Portland was approved for what we believe is the first ever design patent. The Lou has a patent.
Excellent.
I had a question about its location. Did you consider moving it to one end of the block or the other where the curb already bumps out? It's just kind of being mid-block. It seems like it's sort of interrupting the car parking on that side. And
Yes. Actually, the neighborhood, when you go to that side, that's where those totems are. Mm-hmm. There's three large totems. One are in on each corner, and those, I believe, house streetcar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Catenary poles.
Catenary's in them. So we needed to stay away from those, which are sort of the end, and then the way they have the tree wells, this one happens to be right because there's that light post which will be moved, actually. It'll be adjusted as they do the curb extension. So that's why this became. And as you can see, the door to the condominiums is to the left. So it's also not in front of a store, you know, a doors to condos, et cetera. So that's how it ended up here. If we went farther north, we'd be right on the front of Il Fornaio. I mean, is that right? Il Fornaio, the Italian restaurant?
No,
the
it's
French?
Another one.
No. Yeah. No, which one is it?
The French restaurant.
Fenois, sorry. Yeah. So there were those accommodations as well.
But that it was determined to be on this street then on 11th?
Yes. And
because there are more, maybe less, or maybe, I don't know, more appropriate or less cramped areas around the park, but most of the people congregate on that side because of the fountain.
Actually, this was a tough site logistically due to the way the sewer is and the grading of the sewer. So, and then one side of the park, of course, is not a street. It's where the storefronts are that look out. I believe that's Kearney,
north, you mean.
Right?
Yeah.
Johnson, if that's where that's where a Zipcart site was, 10th, excuse me. The problem with that, with Johnson, is that you have to bore under the streetcar to get to the sewer line. So then if you move to the other side where the boardwalk is, so you got the boardwalk, and then you've got where the sand and the bocce, but there's no sewer on that side of the park. So logistically, this, unlike some other sites we've looked at, this was sort of the most challenging in terms of where you could sort of functionally place one logistically that wasn't going to cost sort of more than fabricating it. So in the letter from that's in your packet from the Neighborhood Association, they looked and did some research on the sites that the neighbors brought forward. And this was a site that they proposed, actually, that we city staff had not looked at. And it's a little bit challenging as I'm looking back to my colleague from PBOT, just in terms of the streetlight, et cetera, but it's very doable.
This is the same issue that we came across when you, well, mm-hmm. similar to the waterfront, where you can't go in the park.
Right.
It's got to stay in the right-of-way. Well, that's something that maybe as you go along, you try to negotiate, because it would probably fit inside the park out of the right-of-way much easier than it would fit in the more narrow sidewalk and then taking a parking space.
Right.
It would be more of the park, which that's the primary user
right.
of this. So it seems like there's some coordination that could be done between you and parks to kind of alleviate this tension and or kind of barrier that the park represents when, in fact, you're serving the park's constituents.
Right.
So
Right.
The problem with that is the curfew, and Commissioner Leonard is really committed to having them open 24 hours.
Sure. Well, that's another thing, though. I mean, there's these roadblocks, and you can always put them in front of you, but I think there needs to be some kind of considerations of removing those roadblocks so that this thing, when it's inserted in the right of way, it's done well, or if, in this case, which it seems like there's a lot of compromises in this location, that it can actually go in the park.
Right.
The door could be out the right of way.
What?
The door could be in the right of way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So technically, or you just say, that's part of the right of way now. I mean, there's just ways to do this that probably in the end result, there's a better solution than taking a parking space.
I agree.
Because now it's in a, what I would consider this kind of in-between zone of a sidewalk and the street. You've got cars backing up into it and trying to park and parallel park, and people aren't always good drivers.
Right.
I can see.
So, and particularly when you get, somebody who isn't really astute at parallel parking.
Right.
And so it seems like if it's going to stay there, it needs some kind of protection.
Right.
So.
I agree. I mean, I've talked to Tim, actually. I caught him at the street here with the lunch carts, just talking about, it's also a challenge because we are now citing these into areas that have already been designed. And so, how do you get ahead of that? So that, all of these three sites we've talked about are places where there's these fountains with huge number of people coming, where there is no place to go to the bathroom. Yeah. So then, of course, the question is, what happened? How did that happen, which was long before any of our time, in dealing with the loo? And so as development continues, what...
Well, there's an extreme need for this.
Right, but, our bathrooms, the bus, like such, I mean, there's all these venues, and, you talk about the bus mall, Pioneer Square keeps coming up. There's lots.
There's the new South Waterfront Park.
It gets very complex and around where they should be, and I think it's more challenging to do it after the fact because then you've got, sight lines and purpose than it is if it was actually part of, whether it's a loo or just a restroom, if it was part of the conversation as it was designed would help in the sort of functional siting of.
Right. It should just be a programmatic element in new parks.
And when South Waterfront Park came through here, we were only in an advisory role, but one of the strong suggestions was to provide public restrooms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to have one. That's what we've heard.
Right.
So does the curb come out and around, or is that a metal deck?
No, it's going to be a curb extension. So there's a curb extension right now around the one at Gleason. So if any of you have gone down to the loo that's at the Greyhound bus station, that is a curb extension, and that's what this will look like. This was a graphic designer throwing a patter at it.
It's going to be almost bigger than the parking space, and you're going to have little radiuses that go out to it, and you'll probably need a bollard or two, or someone's going to run into it. And, I mean, there could be more visual impact than what we see here.
I was just turning around, Rich. We've gone out with the staff from the Bureau of Transportation, and they're actually going to be designing the curb cut. So this picture, in the one that you see, this one, the way the graphic designer stuck the photo, you can still see half the Land Rover that it's sort of covering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a garage.
Then you see there's a little, in front of that parking meter, there's the yellow 18.5, I think it's inch there. And then behind the Subaru, there's one too. So there's actually enough room to do adjustments with realigning the parking spaces. And then they've got dimensions, etc., about what they need to do to make that extension actually robust enough, and it's actually only taking up one space because of that little give right there with those 18.5. So these are not to scale, and I apologize for that. It's a bit hard to we were hoping we could get at least the drawings from PBOT on what the curb extension would look like in time, but they're just, I mean, we're waiting for the surveys, et cetera, so that they can actually do that work, so.
So does that door swing open and stop, or does it swing all the way open and back?
It swings open and stops. And then what would we do, which you can't see here, is the water would actually be we would flip it onto this side of the street, on this side, so that they would wash their hands on the sidewalk. Yeah, so those panels can be And we can also rehinge the door. So this is actually oriented correctly because you'd want to have the door open towards the street so you would exit.
And then you're going to have a big 3 or 4 foot apron in front of that.
Right, because it has to be, it's ADA accessible as yeah, well. So there'll be plenty of room for that as well. Yeah, so that's what's nice about having PBOT just design the, because not only the grades in that, but they take all that into consideration
and
as well.
They'll approve it more quickly.
With the change of materials to stainless steel, what's that going to mean for the exterior appearance? It's not going to look like this, obviously. I mean, you're taking stainless steel and you're putting a
graffiti
coating. That is the
This is stainless. We didn't fabricate any out of plastic. So the reason they're this color is because it's got that graffiti coating painted on it.
Oh, okay. So that's not HDPE.
No. That was just one of the, when we first came to the commission,
right?
So we never fabricated them out of it. No, we took your.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And we went back to the drawing board. The one difference we talked about in April was that the front door now, the police have actually asked if we can carry those louvers around to the front. So the new design will actually have louvers on the front there. Right. So.
Okay, any final questions here?
Nope.
Thank you guys for coming down. And again, want to just say thanks for working with us, but also for getting out and getting these things into the neighborhoods and working with the neighborhood so closely and getting that done. So thanks again.
Thank you.